accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, to be by the Holy Spirit the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal, and God's Word to you. What makes the Bible so important? Let me begin by construing your question to be a question about the texts of religious communities in general. A religious community's scripture, writes Robert Jensen in a little book named Canon and Creed, a community's scripture is a body of literature that is fixed in some medium that preserves it, which may simply be trained memories, and that precisely in its fixity that is necessary for its lastingness to the community. Exactly in its fixity, it makes it, not only it, but the community last. This general observation makes your particular question even more pointed. What makes the Bible so important? Of all possible pieces of literature, why the Bible? Why not of a Sunday morning read a Shakespearean sonnet or a poem by E.E. Cummings or a passage of the Gospel of Thomas, for that matter, as a text that can tell us something about what it means to be human? Moreover, in the case of Jewish and Christian communities, why words? Why words? Why not gather as the Quakers do, as some of you once did before you married a Presbyterian, and experience meaning in silence broken only by spirit-inspired reflections of a friend? Or why not listen to a symphony and let its wordless beauty send us back into the world refreshed? Or why not dance our way through the morning, as other communities have done, to tribal rhythms and ancient chants? Gosh, would I like to see you do that. The presupposition of the Bible, said Karl Barth to a classroom of seminarians, is that God spoke. Deus dixit, the word of God. So words. Yet here we must be very careful to insist that the words of Scripture are not identical with the words or the word of God. Bart Allbutt foams at the pen as he writes of the damage done in the 19th century when the doctrine of inspiration trumped by infallibility, inerrancy, missed the paradox of God's word concealed, hidden in the human words of Scripture. When theologians made the writers of Scripture into scribes of God's dictation, church reads her scripture as a single plotted succession of events stretching from creation to consummation, plotted around Exodus and resurrection, says Jensen. It goes without saying that the writings of what we now call the Old Testament functioned as scripture for Jesus and for the followers of Jesus before they were the followers of Jesus. Through the law and the prophets, the history and the wisdom of Israel, a people was constituted and continued to be addressed by the sort of God who makes promises to them. No doubt for centuries the words were spoken, handed down orally from generation to generation, taught to children at home and away when lying down and rising up. But the written words literally became a matter of life and death, of identity and endurance after the exile, when a scattered people had either to remember who they were and whose they were, or cease to be. In an incredible book of essays, Jonathan Rosen wrote, entitled The Talmud and the Internet, Rosen says that destruction, or at least the response to it, was woven into the very fabric of Judaism back in 586 BCE, when the first temple was razed by the Babylonians. The exile, he says, and return that followed transformed Judaism from a local religion into one that could cross borders, that was preparing itself to live without a land. During the resettlement of the land of Israel, the temple was rebuilt. But far more important, says Rosen, Ezra the scribe began to transcribe the fragments that were gathered into what became the Bible. The realization that only words were durable had dawned on God's people. Now here is an interesting parenthesis, that great one aha this week for me. Contrary to general understanding, Rosen writes, Jews have a New Testament. It is called the Talmud. The Talmud was the response of what became rabbinic Judaism to the destruction of the Second Temple. It is, in fact, he says, numerous New Testaments all unfolding into the other and circling back to that first biblical testament so that knowing which came first, the verse or the commentary can become obscure. Likewise, Robert Jensen, our team, observes that both the Talmud of rabbinic Judaism and the New Testament of Christianity supersede the community that came to an end in the destruction of the Second Temple. Each, in their own way, added a second volume that determined their community's reading of the Hebrew Scriptures and their ongoing identity. In the church's New Testament, God's self-communication continues to be mediated through words that bear witness to the Word, capital W, that was in the beginning. The Word that determines our reading of the Old Testament. Remember how Philip got up on the carriage that the Ethiopian eunuch was on, and he said, "Do you understand this?" And he said, "How can I understand this?" And it was Philip, who had lived all his life direction going forward as a norm for the word the church had to say in order to be the church. This is also why, to speak another of your questions in, why we do not keep adding to the Bible. Go back to Jensen's general observation. The importance of Scripture has something to do with what he called fixity. If the church had not fixed the collection of writings that became what we call the canon, no one would be reading it, says Jensen, nor would I be writing about it. Apart from the fact that Israel's scripture funded the initial church, and apart from the fact that the church collected writings of its own in one book with this scripture, there would have been no Holy Bible, and there would be no reason to treat the documents now bound together under that title as anything but sundry relics of two or more ancient Mideastern religions. It is only because the church maintains the collection of these documents with the text they present as the book she needs. It is only for this reason that we are concerned for their interpretation. What makes the Bible so important? After attention is paid to why a text is important in general for a community's identity and continuance, and after the why of words in Scripture are asked in terms of being the primary means of God's address, fixed words that tell the story of God's promises to Israel, words that bear witness to the promise made complete in the Word made flesh, that is Jesus Christ. One question remains. Why is the Bible so important to you? You know, even if you think it not, here you are, in the community that would not exist without Scripture. Do you accept the Scriptures to be, by the Holy Spirit, God's word to you? 38 years ago, I said, I do, and had no earthly idea of what I really meant by my assent. 38 years later, I do believe with all my heart and mind and strength that what I struggle to hear in the words of Scripture is God's address to me for you. Scripture has become the air I breathe. You could say every Friday and Saturday, I tear my garment as I listen for God's word, as I wrestle these words to the ground in the middle of the night for a blessing. One way or another, with all the caveats and conditions you might want to place on your relationship to the Bible, given your enlightened reason, I expect each of you once was told the old, old story by a saint whose faith you have been struggling to make your own ever since. Like the Ethiopian eunuch, trace our blood back to the Mayflower, or promise life after death on a plaque in a building